Good morrow!
Welcome back to Shaky Understanding. I'm Allison.
And I'm Beverly.
This week, we're going to be talking about The Merchant of Venice.
Here's some Shakespeare abridged. So we start seeing this Merchant of Venice, Antonio, and he's very sad. He's a merchant, so he has many ships on the sea delivering cargo, and basically he's made a lot of investments to trade these goods and services all around the world. And everyone's like, oh, are you worried that they're going to like shipwreck and all your money's going to be gone? He's like, not really. But he's also sad, and they don't really tell you why. And then his friend Bassanio comes in and says, hey, Antonio, my best friend, my homie, could I borrow some more money? I know I've borrowed a lot of money from you already, but could I have just a little bit more? I'm really trying to woo this girl named Portia. She's really beautiful and really rich, and I'd really like to be her husband. And Antonio's like, of course, anything you need, but all my money's overseas right now. But I usually don't borrow money, but why don't we go to a money lender and we'll get some money from him, and you can use my credit and my name to borrow it under it. And Bassanio's like, great, thank you. So next we see Portia and Nerissa, and Portia is the girl that Bassanio really wants to marry. And we find out that Portia's father has died, and in his will, he demanded that whoever marries her has to pass a test where they're given a choice between three chests, one gold, one silver, and one lead. And inside one of them is a portrait of Portia, and whoever picks the right chest gets to marry her. And she's kind of lamenting with her handmaiden that she hates all the men that have come so far, and she's so frustrated that she can't make this choice herself, and she has to leave it up to the fates. And they make fun of some of those men. So we see Antonio and Bassanio go to Shylock, who is a Jewish moneylender in Venice. Jews are the moneylenders that take interest for their loans. And so Antonio has a history of, like, berating Shylock and lending out money without interest, which sort of ruins Shylock's business. And Shylock says that to him. He's like, oh, Antonio, you want to borrow money from me now for your friend Bassanio? But you hate me and you've spit on me before and all this stuff. And basically he makes a deal with him that says, you know what, as a joke, why not instead of you paying me interest, if you can't pay me back the money I'm going to lend you, I get a pound of your flesh. And they're like, sure, let's sign this contract. And they do. Then we see Lancelot, who's Shylock's servant, saying how much he hates the Jew and he doesn't want to be a part of his following anymore. And he's like, I'm going to go ask Bassanio to be his servant. He's like, and then he meets Bassanio and is like, yeah, you can be my servant. That sounds great. And it just sort of adds to the characterization that, like, everyone in the town kind of hates Shylock. Jessica is Shylock's daughter, who is also Jewish. But even she is like, I hate that I'm a Jew. I hate being Jewish. I'm totally in love with this other guy, Lorenzo, and I want to run away with him and become a Christian. And so Lorenzo and all of his buddies, like Gratiano and Salarino and Solanio, all make a plan to take Jessica out in the nighttime, disguised as a torchbearer for their mask, similar to the thing that we see in Tempest, where, like, it's just a party where they act out things in full garb. And so they dress her like a boy, and she carries the lights, basically. She's a glorified PA. So they sneak her out that way, and then they get married, and she becomes a Christian. And she also steals a ton of money from Shylock, including, like, a ring that Shylock later says was a ring that he gave to Jessica's mother, his wife. And he had it after she died. So, nice, Jessica. Nice. Timing. With Portia and Nerissa, we see two suitors come through there. One is the Prince of Morocco, who is extremely extravagant and very full of himself. He, of course, chooses the gold chest and is like, yes, because you're the best and I deserve the best, so let's do the gold chest. He opens it up and it's like, haha, not all that glitters is gold. You should have chosen wiser. Something like that. The Prince of Aragon comes and he chooses the silver chest because it's like, not too hot, not too cold. And again, there's a letter inside that's like, haha, you've chosen poorly. Then Portia gets a messenger that's like, hey, this really great guy's at the door and he brought all these presents and I really like him. And Portia's like, do you want to tell me who it is or else I'm going to think it's like your brother. And he's like, oh, well, straight up.
don't remember that part.
I do, because I was like, that's such a weird thing to say, Portia. Like, you have such a weird life. Why are you saying stuff like that? Anyway. And she's like, I kind of hope it's this one guy that I met before named Bassanio, who seems kind of hot. And the messenger's like, hey, it's this guy Bassanio. She's like, great. So then we see Celanio and Salarino talking about the gossip of the town, which is pretty much what those characters do. They're there to, like, talk about what everyone else is talking about. And they say that all of Antonio's ships have wrecked, and basically he's lost all of his money, and the Jew is going to collect on his debt, because now Shylock, the Jew, is so mad because Jessica has run away from him. He knows that someone helped her run away from him, and he knows that she's married and become a Christian. But what he's most angry about is that she stole all of his money. And he's, like, so upset, and he's like, my ducats, I need my money back. I can't believe she would do this. Man. We see another Jew in this town! There's two! Because he talks to this guy named Tubal, who's another moneylender, and he's the one who, and that's where he's, like, talking so much about, my money, I wish I had it. So then, Bassanio and Portia are in the same room, finally. And Portia's like, hey, why don't you just, like, not choose a chest? And we could just, like, hang out. Because when you choose a chest, you either win or you die. Not really. But if you choose wrong, her father's will says that you have to never marry anyone. So she's like, why don't you just not choose a chest? Because if you choose wrong, you have to leave and I'll never see you again. And I don't want that to happen. So what if we just hung out for a while before you chose a chest? And Bassanio was like, no, I have to. I can't live in between and not knowing. And so he gives this long speech about, oh, not all that glitters is gold, etc. And he finally chooses the lead chest. And it's the correct one. And her picture's in there and she's like, oh, I'm so happy. And she's like, but don't show your affection too much. He'll think you're stupid. And then Gratiano, who's like homies with Antonio and Bassanio, has come with Bassanio to this town. And he was really adamant about coming and you don't really know why. And then as soon as Bassanio picks the right chest, he's like, hey guys, by the way, hey, can I marry Nerissa? Who's Portia's handmaiden. And Portia's like, what, really? And Nerissa's like, yeah, I really like him, let's do it. And Gratiano's also like, hey, can I jump in on your wedding too so we can just have a double one? And Bassanio's like, hell yeah, we got all the money in the world now. And they all get married. But they also get news, unhappy news, that Antonio has lost all of his ships and is now, the Jew is now demanding that he give him a pound of flesh. And basically, they're stuck in this in-between with the Law of Venice saying the contract that they signed must be honored or else every business in Venice is, how do I say it, is garbage?
Yeah, basically. Yeah. Like, if we don't honor this treaty, then every other treaty flies out the window. Right. It's like, we don't negotiate with terrorists. It's because, like, if you negotiate with one, then you gotta negotiate with everybody.
True.
So it's like, you gotta hold that line.
Yeah, you gotta hold the contract as the law. And so they're stuck in this thing where it's like, are we allowing murder? But it was a contract they all agreed to. So they're in court right now to deal with that. So he's like, I'm sorry, babe, I gotta go save my best buddy Antonio because he's the reason I'm here and I love him so much. And she's like, oh my God, he's so good to his friend. That's so nice. All right, you go do that. And he goes off. And then she turns to Nerissa is like, hey, guess what? What if we dress like dudes and go and help them save their friend Antonio? And Nerissa's like, all right, cool. And then they go. So we see Jessica and Lorenzo happily married, and they have a cute little bantery scene. And Jessica's actually, like, pretty smart in it. You're like, damn, Jessica, you smart.
Jessica's awesome.
Yeah.
Outside of the fact that she's,
she just hates her father and Jews.
Which and is, like, steals all his money.
Real dark.
But otherwise, we'll she's that. A great character.
We'll talk about that. And then we see the court. And the Duke is begging Shylock, basically, because he's like, I understand the law, and I understand what you're asking of me, and I don't really know how to not do this, but I really don't want to let you murder this man in, like, this town, in public. And Shylock's like, nope, I deserve what my contract said. I've learned revenge from you Christians, because you Christians have taken out all of this stuff on me, all this stuff. Antonio is like, I'm resigned to my fate as long as my friend Bassanio can be here when I die. All I want to see is my friend Bassanio. Bassanio shows up, and he's like, please, Shylock, please don't kill this man. Portia gave him, like, 10 times the amount of money they owed Shylock. He's like, take all of this money, please. Like, you don't need to do this. You have the money right here. And Shylock's like, nope, I want my pound of flesh. It's what I earned. You guys think you're so much better than me, but I've outsmarted you this time, and this is for revenge for my daughter, too. Like, you Christians have ruined everything. And so then, they're about to be like, all right, you can take this pound of flesh, because that's kind of their hands are tied, when the Duke is like, hey, I got this letter from this doctor of law, and he says this young doctor of law is here to help argue the case. Let him in. And then Portia comes in a mustache, and she talks to them and goes through the logic of it all and says, oh yeah, what if you just took like 10 times the amount of money? And Shylock's like, that's not in the contract. I'm not going to do that. And then she suddenly realizes, okay, take his pound of flesh. Here's a knife. It says you got to take it closest to his heart. Do it. But in the contract, it doesn't say anything about blood. So you can take his pound of flesh as long as you don't take any of his blood. And if you take blood, it's assault and murder, and you will be arrested and put to death. And Shylock is like, okay, I'll take all that money. And she's like, oh, no, you already said no to the money. And Bassanio's like holding out the money, and he's like, oh, never mind, and he pulls it back. and Shylock's like, wait, what? No, just give me my money, and I'll leave. And she's like, oh, no, you have denied the money 3 times. And now, this is what you do. You have to take the pound of flesh. And he's like, but if I do, I'll be put to death. And she's like, yep. So Portia says, well, now that you have decided not to put a knife into this man and try and take a pound of his flesh, since you wanted to, you have attempted murder on someone. And you've basically, like, been asking for murder for the past 3 days of this trial. And Shylock's like, And they're like, but we're not going to put you to death. We're just going to make you give all of your money, half to the state, half to Antonio, who you have wronged. And the state is like, you know what, we'll just make it a fine. And Antonio is like, you know what, why don't you just give that money to Jessica and Lorenzo when you die? So they'll have an inheritance. Because Jessica, well, I guess I was going to say she didn't have a dowry, but she did steal all his money, so, you know, whatever. And then Portia says, also, you have to give up your religion, Judaism, and convert to Christianity. And I don't know if it's so much in the text, but every time I've seen it, it's like a huge deal to Shylock. And he's very broken about it. And they've basically just taken away everything that he holds core to himself. I don't think reading it this time, I really felt that from just the text, but it's good to know that that's like a huge deal. And then Portia, still in her mustache, and Nerissa is there too, also in a mustache, dressed as men, being lawyers and a lawyer's clerk. They go, okay, we gotta go. Bye, guys. And everyone's like, wait, come to dinner with us. Hang out with us. And they're like, no, we gotta go home. Bye. Oh, no, I didn't even talk about the rings. Before they go home, Bassanio and Antonio thank this doctor of law that helped them, which is Portia in disguise, as Balthazar, even though no one ever calls her a name, but that's the name. And they go, oh my god, thank you so much. Here, why don't you have all of this money that we were going to give to Shylock as thanks? I'm sure Portia would be cool with it. And Portia's like, okay, but actually, don't give me the money. Why don't you give me that ring instead? Now, Portia had given a ring to Bassanio when they got married, saying, this is a symbol of me giving myself to you. I'm so in love with you. This is me giving over my everything. And never take this ring off. This is a symbol of our relationship. Don't ever give it away. So then, as Balthazar, she's like, hey, give me that ring. And Bassanio's like, oh, I can't. You don't understand. Like, this, my wife gave me this. I can't give it to you. And Antonio's like, dude, don't be a dick. Like, give her the ring. Like, she helped save my life. And Bassanio's like, oh, no, I can't. And Portia, in disguise, is like, oh, fine. And, like, starts walking away. And Antonio's like, dude, seriously. And Bassanio's like, okay, go give this to him. And Nerissa sees that happen. She's like, I'm going to ask Graziano for the ring I gave him, too. It'll be like a sick joke. And then they race home. And then they get home before Bassanio and Antonio and all them. And Bassanio and Antonio come in. They're like, oh my god, everything worked out. This great lawyer came and helped save Antonio. And Portia's like, oh my god, what a surprise. That's so cool. And Nerissa's like, hey, Gratiano, where's the ring I gave you? And Gratiano's like, oh, I had to give it to this clerk because they helped us. And Nerissa's like, how dare you? That was a symbol of our love. And Portia's like, well, I know you would never do that, Bassanio. You would never give away the ring that symbolized our whole relationship and love that's happened over the past days. And Bassanio is like, well, actually, I had to give it to this lawyer guy who helped us really, like, a lot. Portia's like, oh, fine, well, why don't you take this ring instead? And he's like, wait, this is the same ring! Portia and Nerissa say, like, oh yeah, that guy was in my bed last night. Which is, like, the same as them saying, like, it was me, but also, it sounds like they were sleeping with them.
Right.
It has all this double meanings of, like, sleeping with. And
then they reveal that they dressed up with them, and then Gratiano and Bassanio are like, oh, well, I guess it's okay if the only company you ever have in your bed is that guy, which is really you. It's all good in the hood. And that's the end.
Yeah. Nice positive, like, self-love message at the end right there. We have a guest here today.
Woo!
Thank you so much for coming, Bassanio.
Welcome.
Yeah. Hey, I'm a little hungover, so if you guys could a little lower, it'd be great.
Do you want a shot?
Yeah. You have any mezcal?
Don't have any mezcal, but I have bourbon and gin.
Bourbon. Hey, thanks for trash talking me for a half hour. This has been great.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Great.
Cool. Are you mad?
I'm a little peeved. Here's the thing. Portia is a mess. Portia is constantly lying to me and making me jump through hoops.
Whoa.
And honestly, I'm a pretty good dude. Like, I'm a solid 6.
Okay.
On the good dude scale.
6?
Yeah, I mean, I'm not, like, an Antonio, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Solid 10.
Do you want to talk about the elephant in the room first?
Sure.
How racist this play is?
It's so racist.
Yeah.
Wow. I remember you telling me that before I read it, uh-huh. And being like, hey, so, like, it's really racist, but the text is really beautiful, so enjoy. And I texted you in the middle of scene 2, I believe, of the whole play, and said, oh my god, this play is so racist.
Yeah, it's Act 1, Scene 2. Portia and Nerissa are just talking about all different races. And like, countries of origin, which is something they do all the time.
Yeah.
They did it in Comedy of Errors, being like, oh, what part of her face is this country?
Right. It is an extremely racist play, which I think is why there aren't that many modern day adaptations of it, because there's no way in this PC climate that you could get away with it without going, but it's okay because it's the 16th century, so it's fine. There's just no way.
Having been there, let's
go ahead.
Let me lay it down for you.
Please, go ahead.
Sure, Antonio's a prick, okay? For sure. I can't excuse his behavior. He was being a dick to the guy. I don't fully get it. Most of us just thought, you know, Shylock was like this guy who, like, you know, like the guy in your neighborhood who, like, takes his trash out too early or,
sure,
like, has got weird lawn ornaments. Like, that's kind of how we treated him. He's just kind of a weirdo.
Uh-huh.
But, I mean, yeah, Antonio, for some reason, like, really hated this guy. I don't know if it's the usurer part with the interest and the loans, but, like, come on, Antonio. Like, he's just a guy. Like, back off.
So you really think Antonio had it out for this guy?
Yeah, I think Antonio hated him. He used to write fan fiction about murdering him, which was out there. I mean, Antonio had some dark thoughts.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Was Antonio really popular? Like, did he have a lot of friends?
Antonio had a ton of friends, yeah. If I have to use, like, a modern thing, I would say he's a lot like what you would think Leonardo DiCaprio would be like at his own house party. Like, kind of quiet in the corner, the super chill, and, like, everybody's there, like, Leo, and he just kind of, like, has sunglasses on, and he kind of gives a nod from across the room. That's really Antonio. I mean, he just likes to be in the mix.
Totes.
You know? But what's crazy about that is I've never seen Antonio with a girl. So I don't know if that's, like, one of those things that he's doing after we all leave or what's going on. But he just doesn't seem that interested.
Do you feel like Antonio prefers the company of men?
You know, I haven't seen him with a guy either. I mean, of course, like, we're all hanging out and chilling all the time. I mean, we'll go out on the lake and we'll cruise around through the canals. I mean, we've got some pretty sweet-ass gondolas. But no, I don't know. He just kind of seems like that guy who just wants to hang out, you know?
He's always hanging out with you, right?
Well, yeah, me and Sal, me and Sol, you know, me and Lorenzo. Like, we're all in the mix, you know, shooting pool, playing cards, you know,
do you feel
fighting
like,
with swords.
Do you feel like Antonio is in love with you? Because I kind of get that from the text.
That's a pointed question. And I feel like this always happens. I mean, I feel like girls are always like, romances exist. Like, can you deal with it or can you not? I mean...
Real question, though. Has he ever written fan fiction about you two?
Not that I've seen.
Okay.
Possibly. He's got volumes of books. He's a huge writer. I mean, he's very melancholy. He would love Poe. Can we talk about Portia for a second?
Yeah,
I really want to go back to this.
It. Yeah.
Listen, I'm not, like, the hardest working guy. I'm not, like, the best guy. But I didn't deserve to be, like, effed with for a whole 3 months. I mean...
What do you mean 3 months?
What are you talking about?
Explain what you mean by that.
Listen, I had to go beg money from Shylock, from Antonio. Okay, that's fine. I need the money. I'll do that. That's great. Then...
So you think Portia, like, required that of you?
Why well, yeah, you gotta have money to get in the door. I had to buy the bottle service. I mean, like, what are we doing here? I gotta show up in garbs. I gotta get my deadbeat friends there. Woo! Money.
You gotta come packing.
Gotta come packing. I mean, right before me was this Moor who was, like, decked out in white and gold ready to party. And I can't show up looking like a scrub. She doesn't want no scrubs. Exactly. So, I get there, right? Mm-hmm. It's not enough that I'm just there and I'm like, hey, it's me, remember? I have to go through a challenge. I have to go through some Sphinx riddle bull.
In her defense, it wasn't her idea. Roll your eyes at me.
Live your life.
She says over and over she wishes this wasn't controlling her choice of the rest of her life. Because her life.
Great. So let's say that's not her fault. Later, she's putting me through these morality tests with the ring. She's lying to me.
That's real.
She's cross-dressing.
Real.
I mean, what are we doing here? Like, how much do you have to mess with me in the first month of our relationship? Sure, you shaved Antonio's life, but you made me feel like crap about it.
What do you mean she made you feel like crap about it?
She took the ring. She made me choose between her and Antonio. She made me show her cards.
She did, like, the first... You've been married a couple days or something?
Yeah.
And the first thing she does is be like, by the way, your best friend that you love more than anything, pick.
Like, let's just chill for a little bit, right?
Let's get to know each other.
Like, let's just...
Kiss.
What? Right? Yeah, that'd
also,
be great.
Also, wasn't she like, hey, we're not going to sleep together until you get back? Didn't they say that?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know how long that boat trip was? And then we had to get back, because we didn't sleep together in Venice. We're talking like 5 weeks.
So I got a question then. You really went through a lot to get her.
Yeah.
So you must really love her, right?
You'd think so. Oh, let me explain it to like this, okay?
Okay.
I'm like a lovable scamp. I had money, but it's gone. I was trying to live up to a position I do not have. Antonio was fronting me a lot of money, and that was super cool. But listen, at some point, you gotta lock in the big whale, you know? You gotta track down the woman who's hot and got the money, and you gotta make sacrifices for that. And if she's gonna, I don't know, put me in a maze and make me find the cheese, then I'm gonna go through it, okay? Because...
You gonna sniff out that Gruyere?
I'm gonna sniff it out, because I know my position. I'm like a solid, 7.5. I mean, I'm a pretty handsome guy with a cool entourage, but, like, she's a 10. I mean, what do you want? She's a babe. She's got money. She got assistance. She got a cool place to live. I mean, I know. I get it.
All right.
So, yeah.
So you love her, but also you love where she's going to get you.
That was the question. Yeah, I love her. Yeah. Listen, you know, you're not going to live very long. At some point, you got to pull the trigger, and, like, if you're not going to love a 10, what are you going to love? You know what I mean? Also, can we talk about all my friends, like, kind of just ditching Antonio?
Yeah.
What do you mean?
Like, everyone got married within the span of, like, 3 months.
Okay, you don't mean, like, for the trial.
No.
You don't mean, like, leaving him. You
mean, like... But that didn't help either.
Moving away,
getting married, I mean...
Moving on.
Here's this guy who's, like, putting us up, and we're having these big, Gatsby parties. Right. And then all of a sudden, like, deuces, dude. Like, I found myself a woman, and we're not going to be hanging around much anymore.
Yeah, he's kind of left in the cold. And he doesn't talk about any, like you said, any prospects he has for marriage with any girls or anything.
And I'm not going to say that he's not banging tail, because he might be.
Right.
But I just haven't seen it. Uh-huh. You know what I mean? Like, Lorenzo can't wait to tell me about it. So, Graciano I've seen. I mean, he'll do it anywhere.
You've in a garden. Banging it out.
Kitchen floor.
Applebee's parking lot.
Applebee's in a trash pile of vests. It's filthy.
I wanted to bring up the Shylock's speech. Yes, this place super racist, but also I feel like towards the end it kind of gets a little bit like, hey, we shouldn't be racist. We shouldn't be thinking all these things. Shylock's speech in particular.
Hath the Jew not eyes?
Yeah. You know, if you cut prick us, do we not bleed? All of that. And then.
Did he say that? I didn't hear any of that. Mm, really?
Yeah.
Yeah, so when he's talking to Sal and Saul, they're like being like, oh, you're such a Jew, basically.
Yeah, and he's kind of like, listen, dudes, get it right.
Okay, so listen, I don't have a problem with Shylock being like, hey, I'm a person, like, don't F with me. I don't F with the guy. Like, just let him live his life, man.
Right.
I wasn't super jazzed about him trying to, like, you know, kill my best friend. But right. Other than that, like, he's fine, you know.
But I feel like that's why he's so adamant about demanding.
For sure.
The pound of flesh. Is like, you guys have messed with me too long. I'm not taking it anymore.
Specifically Antonio. I just want to go on the record here.
Okay, sure.
I mean, I'm not the nicest guy, but Antonio, like, you don't want to read
really,
those stories.
Really didn't like him.
No, did not like him.
One thing that's really interesting about this is it's very racist. It's very, like, equating Jews with the devil, saying they're, like, dogs. Like, most of the characters are saying that. But then there are these moments where Shakespeare's like, by the way, here's the human side of the Jew. And, like, this speech.
Yeah.
And I think the one that, like, kind of passes people by is where he's talking to Tubal and he's like, she took Jessica, when she ran away to marry this Christian, took a turquoise ring that I gave to her mother, and when her mother died, I've been, like, keeping it. And in the next line, he says, but I would love to see my daughter dead as long as I have my money back. Like, rrr, 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 I'm the bad guy.
Yeah.
But he has this moment of, like, it's my wife's ring. Like, I was in love.
Yeah, Lorenzo wore that ring on his pinky for, like, 20 years.
Oh. Gross.
To be fair, it looked cool. It was a cool pinky, right?
Other plays at the time, like there's a famous one by Marlowe called The Jew of Malta, just depicted Jews as these like horned creatures who are like, yeah, I hate everything that is Christian and I'm gonna wreck it. And then like they end up having like a terrible death. Similar to the way that girl dies, the assistant dies in the new Jurassic Park movie, even though she does nothing wrong. Anyway, weird reference. But,
no, totally on point.
In Marlowe's play, like, the Jewish character just does evil things, and at the end, like, gets boiled alive. And everyone's like, yeah!
Whoa.
Yeah.
This is dark.
So, this was different. It's not that it was, like, depicting Jews as great, but it's definitely different. But what I have to say about this play is, I don't think it holds up. In the sense that, like, some people are like, wow, Shakespeare really is seeing the human side of Jews. I don't agree. Like, I think it comes too little too late. I think he has those two moments, and literally that's it.
Yeah.
And especially, like I said, with the ring, like, right after that, he's but, like, my money.
But what I will say is the whole plot with the chests, which is really kind of random and bizarre. So, let's be real about that.
And frustrating from a personal standpoint.
Right.
How much did I want to pick gold? 90%.
But what that seems to be saying to me symbolically is that it doesn't matter what people look like on the outside. Right. On the inside, we all bleed.
See, I would think that this could be culturally relevant now if they didn't make him become a Christian at the end.
Yeah.
That's when I was like, right. You guys are going too far, yeah. Man. Let him
agreed.
Be a Jew.
Agreed. That's... Agreed. The lesson isn't learned.
No. The lesson isn't not learned.
Yeah, yeah.
It's totally. Like, you're going to be like the rest of us. You're going to be a Christian. You're going to be played in trash, and you're going to get married.
Right. Yeah.
Hashtag vanish. Hashtag 1592.
Hashtag blessed.
Hashtag blessed.
So, you also did tell me, though, that you think this has some of the most beautiful text.
Yeah, that's
and what... that I do agree with.
Yes. I get so, like, I'm shaking my book right now. I get so frustrated with this play because I legitimately don't think it should be done anymore because it's so...
It's so racist.
...specific to the time of, like, how people thought about Jews.
Mm-hmm.
And it's hard to just, like, either make it modern, like, make it work both ways and, like kind of ameliorate the grossness of how, like, mean they are to him.
Yeah.
But the speeches in it are so beautiful, and I think it has some of the most beautiful text of Shakespeare.
Yeah.
But, like, I don't think it should be seen or done. Like, it can be seen, for sure, but you have to, like, know what it is.
Yeah.
It sucks.
Yeah, I'm kind of done with it, too. I would like if they stopped doing this.
Yeah?
It makes me look kind of crappy.
Yeah?
Yeah, I don't look like the best guy.
You look pretty dumb, I'm gonna be honest. You're, like, no offense, but in this play, when I read Bassanio, I see him as, like, an airheaded man. Like, he's not super smart. He's just like, yeah, I'm just going to go to this Porsche girl. Can I borrow somebody? Oh my God, thank you. You're so nice.
Not smart. I feel like I'm super smart.
Oh, yeah?
I just don't feel like I look morally cool.
Oh, yeah.
Mm.
I feel like, I don't know, did I bag Porsche when the other two guys didn't?
True.
Yeah. Did I save my friend unknowingly? Yeah. Did I live happily ever after with Porsche?
Mm-hmm.
Maybe. Who knows? I mean, I do.
Right. I don't think you helped save Antonio.
I brought Portia.
Yes, but she did all of the legwork.
I do think Portia and Nerissa are some of the coolest characters, though.
Yeah, they're pretty dope.
They're pretty great.
Don't roll your eyes.
How many times can someone lie to you the first couple weeks of marriage?
Apparently
they have, like, a great plan, though. They pull it off. Portia is super smart.
Also,
I would say.
Like, she learns all the information about Antonio and his situation, blinks, then is like, I got a plan.
Right?
I will say
she's
it was kind
on
of
point.
She's a liar.
It was kind of embarrassing not recognizing her for that whole trial. I do look back on that and think, whew.
Yeah, especially because you and Graziano both have a line where you're like, God, I would save you before I would save my own wife.
Yeah.
And both of the ladies are like, I hope your wife doesn't hear that.
Yeah.
It's so good.
And I was like, my wife's in Belmont, yo.
You, like, yelled that at her?
Yeah.
It's just not the play.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, that was on, you know.
Yeah, yeah. Shaky.
You can only get
right.
so much.
Right. And I just really enjoy the whole thing with the rings as well. I think it's really funny.
Did you,
that's
did
the other
you enjoy
thing.
That?
I thought it was hilarious. Yeah.
The other thing I wanted to say, first of all, this is like the third play where there's been a ring plot. It's like
right.
12th Night Comedy of Errors in this.
Lord of the Rings.
Lord of the Rings.
Lord of the Rings.
Yeah, I was pressured to buy a ring.
That's where you needed the 3,000 ducats.
Yeah.
But she gave you a ring.
I came
you didn't
prepped.
Buy one.
I came prepped just in case.
Oh,
you
had
you
one
never
in
know.
Your pocket. Mm.
It's like a
right.
condom. You never know if you're going to need it.
Right.
Better to have it than not.
Engagement rings?
Just
like
always
condoms.
Walk around with an engagement.
I told you, life's short. When you see a 10 and you might have a chance, you gotta go.
I'm gonna talk about history for a hot second.
Do it.
As our technical aspect. I feel like we talked a lot about sort of the racism in the society and how people had biases when we talked about Othello. But I looked up a little bit about Jews and their place in society at the time. When I researched this, I was actually pretty shocked to find out that Jews were actually banned from England in like 1290.
Whoa.
Yep. Like, they were just not allowed to be in England anymore, which mostly probably means that a lot of them converted to Christianity and practiced in private, or hid, or whatever. There were a lot of Jews in hiding there during the Spanish Inquisition, and they weren't allowed back in the country until, like, 1600. So there was, like, 400 years where Jews were, like, outlawed from England, which is crazy to my brain. Before that, they were pretty prosecuted, and they were treated as second-class citizens.
Mm.
They couldn't have a lot of the jobs that were... what made people a lot of money, like being artists and things like that.
Mm.
But Christians could not be usurers. They couldn't take interest for money they lended out.
Mm.
So Jews were the only ones who could do that. So what's crazy is there weren't Jews in England when Shakespeare wrote this play.
Wow.
And probably during his entire life, there were no Jews allowed in England. There were probably Jews around him, but he didn't know.
That's also why it said in Venice. Mind blown.
True.
But we only had like 3 or 4.
Yeah.
Wow.
Not a lot.
Tubal and Shylock and one other guy.
Jessica. And a guy, Arnie, I knew.
Yeah.
Who actually ran a pizzeria.
Oh, there you go.
Very quietly.
Uh-huh. So what people knew about Jews were the rumors, which is that they killed Christians and that they were the devil or like the devil incarnate, like trying to seduce people away from Christianity. And
so far, they just sound like bears.
But they also believed that they killed Christians and would either like do a ritual sacrifice during Easter, because I guess, you know, Jews are to blame for killing Jesus like rumor. But my favorite is that the Jews killed Christians and used their blood for Passover rituals, because part of the story of Passover is that you had to put lamb's blood over your door to symbolize that you were Jewish, so that the plagues would pass over your house when Moses made things happen. When God was trying to release the slaves from Egypt. So they were like, oh yeah, they're using Christian blood to do that nowadays. Which is like, whoa. That sounds like something a horror movie director would be like, what about Christian blood for their Passover thing? Anyway.
Real. Movies? Cool history lesson. But like we were saying, because of that, there aren't really any modern day adaptations. There's a film that came out in 2004 with Al Pacino, but it still keeps it in the time period. This isn't really a play like Romeo and Juliet or even Midsommar. Even Othello, you could kind of get away with, I think, updating it a little bit, because it's not as tied into the text. Because I, too, was like, you know, if you said this, like, in college and everyone's in their fraternities and, like, oh, there's such bros. And it's like the fraternity versus the sorority, but you'd have to change all of the text because of the meter in some of the scenes and the way that the word Jew falls in to fill that meter. There's nothing else that you can replace it with. You have to rewrite the whole thing.
I don't remember what I was doing, but when I was doing research, I found an article from July 2016.
Yeah.
Recently.
Very nice.
That the Globe is doing Merchant of Venice right now, starring Jonathan Pryce.
Wow.
Who plays the High Sparrow in Game of Thrones.
As Shylock. Mm.
And so that's like a modern, but this is my favorite company, the Globe. They always do it like set in the times. They even do their sets and costumes like they would do in the times.
I've seen it. It looks pretty close to what I remember.
There you go.
There. All right.
I also liked O, though. O was a good movie.
As a kid,
the
modern day adaptation of Othello.
Oh,
where it's basketball players.
Yeah.
Oh, is it Tay Diggs?
No, who is it? Mark Hamill? Who plays him? Crap.
Mark Hamill?
I get confused. There's a lot of people to remember.
Good. After 500 years,
it's a lot of people. Jonathan Pryce had an interview that I read that was like, "Yeah, they approached me to play Shylock," and I was like, "No, never. I don't think you should be doing this." And then he's like, but let me think about it. And he reconsidered, and he looked at it, and he was like, we can do it as long as we present him as, like, a humanized outsider. Because I think it's really poignant to the times with refugee crisis and everything like that.
Right.
And all this, like, fear of people and their factions as far as religion goes. Mm. He's like, if we really humanize it and make the Jessica Shylock relationship actually strong, then we can do this. So, they cast his daughter as Jessica.
Whoa!
So, Jonathan Pryce is playing Shylock with his daughter at the Globe Theater. And the Globe often records it, so we should rent it and watch it.
I'd be down.
I'd be down.
Especially because that actor was like, no, we shouldn't be doing this play.
Right.
That makes me be like, I want to watch this.
Yeah.
Because I think you can stretch what you're given with the text to make it more humanized, but I really don't think it's in the text. I still stand by this.
Yeah. We'll check it out. But speaking of the text, should we read a little scene?
Yeah.
Bassanio, you want to read some stuff with us?
I'll do it by memory, but yeah.
Great.
I was there.
So we're going to read Act 3, Scene 2. This is where Bassanio has finally arrived, Belmont, where Portia is, and is going to do the test. And we had found out previously that Portia had met him before and was totally into him. So I'm going to read with Bassanio here.
Word.
Oh, these naughty times put bars between the owners and their rights, and so though yours, not yours. Prove it so. Let fortune go to hell for it, not I. I speak too long, but 'tis to pice the time, and to eke it, and to draw it out in length, to stay you from election.
Let me choose, for as I am, I live upon the rack.
Upon the rack, Bassanio? Then confess what treason there is mingled with your love.
None but that ugly treason of mistrust, which makes me fear the enjoy of my love. There may as well be amity in life, tween snow and fire as treason of my love.
Aye, But I fear you speak upon the rack, where men in force do speak anything.
Promise me life, and I'll confess the truth.
Well, then confess and live.
Confess and love? Had been the very sum of my confession, O happy torment, when my tormentor doth teach me answers of deliverance. But let me and my fortune and the caskets.
Aha! And then he chooses right, and he gets to marry her.
Well, they did sing a song for me right before, so I had some pretty good hints.
Yeah, she's like, hey, by the way, let's sing a song. Guys, come here and sing this song.
They sing a song. It's pretty pointed. Also, I saw the two guys leaving right before me, and they kind of like, don't pick gold, don't pick silver.
Mm. Oh, yeah. I think it's interesting with the Prince of Aragon. She actually seems kind of into him.
He's all right.
She doesn't, yeah, like,
I saw him.
Talk
okay.
bad about him. She's like, well, I guess this is going to decide whether we're married or not. But she seems like, I could go for him. I always thought that was interesting.
He's Portia, a solid eight.
Portia shops around.
She knows what's up.
Yeah. Cool. Well, thank you so much, Masayo.
Yeah, I got to go catch a preview of Doctor Strange. It's coming out. My homies and I are going to go see that.
You got, like, tickets?
Yeah.
Sweet, dude.
I have some pretty good connects. I've been around for a while.
Wow.
Yeah.
Your entourage runs deep.
Yeah. What do you guys eat at the movie theater?
Popcorn.
Yeah.
Yeah. I usually have like a turkey leg.
What?
Mead.
You have turkey legs and mead in your movie theaters?
You gotta sneak it in.
Is that in Burbank or something?
You sneak it in.
Oh, okay. Thank you for joining us for Shaky Understanding.
I'm Allison.
And I'm Beverly.
Deuces, peasants!
Wait a second. Real quick. You literally thought you had the different version of a play because you had not selected the same passage.
We are close.
She looks at the book and goes, maybe we just have a different version. I think my text is different. And I'm like, there are so many speeches in this. You probably
especially
just chose
scene.
Two different speeches.
There's like four speeches in that scene. By
you question. Could not believe it. You thought that there were two different versions of this play to the point where the text was different.
Okay, but if you see us interact, like, we really do have a lot in common and we pick the same things a lot.
For sure. But you guys, I think you guys also started off very smug where you're like, oh, did we both highlight the same thing? And like you guys agreed, and then that cemented it in your mind that no other scenario was possible. Like, oh, did we do it?
The other thing,
we did.
That I will say.
This book is broken!